You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good Monday morning to you. Yeah, the Monday after Christmas, it's a rough one, right? Yep, back to work. Anyway, good morning to you. A Monday edition of All Marine Radio, the last one of 2019. As we get into 2020, gets going. Alex Holling's going to join us today. Hope you had a good weekend. A lot of people traveling. A lot of people still with family. Good luck with that deal. And then a lot of people getting ready for the new year. Getting rid of your Christmas decorations. Yeah, it's my house. I'll have to get rid of my... Oops, that was left over from last week. What the hell? We can play it one more time. I have to get my Christmas decorations off the top of my house. Other than that, for a few days, my family's assembled. So both my sons are here with wives and fiancés and grandkids. So it's kind of really Christmas here. So which is awesome. Christmas changes as you get older. Right? It's, you know, when you're young and you have kids, it's about Christmas and the look on their face and all the rest of that. Well, as your kids leave, you know, it's just having them together. You know, on the rare occasions that you can do it. You know, then they have, you know, there's two sides of the family. Then once I have enough kids, it becomes pretty cost prohibitive to be traveling around the country at Christmas. So, anyway, the times that you can have them all together are infrequent, so very nice to have that happen. So yeah, that's what we've been doing. Big football weekend, my friends that were Ohio State fans, that are Ohio State fans, oh my God, they were mortified. Yeah, but pretty good football game. College football playoff system is certainly, you know, I think that people used to get excited to watch bowl games if you're a sports fan, right? You got excited to watch the bowl games, and there were certain bowl games that you were, you know, by coincidence might pit number one against number two, but now, I mean, that actually happens every year to the playoff. So, let's see, what, a week from, is it tonight? They play on Monday night. But LSU, arguably two of the three top teams, I would say you could throw a blanket over LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson. And they could each play each other 10 times, and they'd wind up 5-5. They're all pretty good football teams. And so Clemson beats Ohio State. You know, as Ohio State's driving to win, a mistake between a quarterback and a wide receiver across them the game, and along with a few other things. So that going on over the weekend, and then the National Football League, their playoffs got going. So anyway, and then also there's been a whole lot of defense related news over the last week. New York Times got its hands on videos of interviews, and I don't know if it was via a Freedom of Information Act or how they did it, but they got their hands on some interviews that are the source materials for the charges against Chief Gallagher. And you can hear one of my problems when you even read the narrative of them, and you have experienced reporters like Barbara Starr, who's CNN's Pentagon reporter. She's been around forever, and she said, you know, these SEALs broke their code of silence. That's not the code of silence. Relates to what they do to the general public. It doesn't relate to, you know, well, and that's what the battle internally to the SEALs is about. It doesn't relate to when somebody commits war crimes and murders people, that you don't do the right thing, and that's the problem they have in their culture now. Is that whole we don't snitch, yeah, that has been bastardized, you know? We don't talk, and let me tell you, the code of silence in the SEALs doesn't exist. It seems like now the only thing it exists for is their own, you know, UCMJ violations, which is kind of an interesting little twist to it, because everything else they do, they publicize. They write books about, they do screenplays, they get on TV and talk about, you know, SEAL, 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 right? So the code of silence, you know, it used to be swift, silent, and deadly. Yeah, swift and deadly. Swift in bringing death, not always to the right people. You know, maybe that moniker should be rewritten. But anyway, that's in the news today. The United States struck targets in both Iraq and Syria, which is interesting that targets in Iraq would be allowed, because evidently they were Shiite targets. The Shiite-led government would allow such a thing inside the sovereign nation of Iraq. To allow Americans to engage those targets. So that happened over the weekend. And then there was one more interesting news item the North Korea thing. That continues to be out. When's the Christmas present coming that we've heard so much about? All right. So when is that thing going to be here? And I guess we can all hold our breath and cross our fingers. So anyway, good morning to you on this Monday. I hope you had a nice Christmas. And if you're back at work, welcome back to work. If you're not going back to work, then enjoying your weekend. Congratulations to you. So. We'll make this morning official, courtesy of the United States Marine Corps Band. Good morning to you. Reverberated for me throughout the weekend is something called, it was the interview that Tim Lynch did last week. And I got emails throughout the weekend about Tim and his candor. So this is dedicated to T.P. Lynch, Free Range International man. And again, just to reinforce, I mean, we don't rightly know what's going on in somebody else's life, even people that you think you know. And so it's always worth your time to be available and to, you know, to reach out on the appropriate occasions, because you never know who might reach back someday. So, dedicated to Tim Lynch here on a Monday morning, and I'll read you a couple emails that I got. Let me read you one that I got. The recent interviews that you did with Tim Lynch have been the most powerful discussions I've ever heard on All Marine Radio. I have to think that you have never had a more memorable interview since Tim's revelations came as a total and complete and unexpected surprise. It was emotional to listen to, and I'm glad that Tim did a follow-up. I found the second interview even more compelling than the first. Great to hear that Tim has become a post-traumatic winner. So I got several of those over the course of the weekend. Here's another one. Hi, Mac. Wanted to send thanks, love, and hugs to Tim. And yes, he has told somebody. He told the All Marine Radio audience. So, this dedicated to T.P. Lynch, formerly of the United States Marine Corps. Now, he's just Tim.
Our flag comes from You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
When the danger is perceptible and the cost of acting are low, the failure to act guarantees that the threat will grow and the ultimate cost will be higher. Every day that goes by makes North Korea a more dangerous country. You don't like their behavior today? What do you think it'll be when they have nuclear weapons that can be delivered to American cities? Do you want to wait till then to act, or do you want to act now?
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather in Marineland here. Cloudy and 61 in Quantico. So it's warmed up on the East Coast. Yeah, it has. It's warmed up on the East Coast as well. Currently cloudy and 70 in North Carolina at Camp Lejeune in the desert of California, the high desert of California. It is... Mac, what's the high desert? Well, the high desert as opposed to the low desert. So if you go to 29 Palms, you drive west out of Los Angeles, right? And you're driving on the interstate. And then you get about to Palm Springs, just like, yeah, you're at Palm Springs and you hang a left. And you go up a terrace of mountains, and then you flatten out to a place called Morongo, I think. And then you go up another fairly steep incline, and then you get to the, I don't know if that's the Morongo Basin, but that's where 29 Palms is. So you go up higher, a couple of different echelons of higher. So that's what the high desert is. It is cloudy and 40 there in 29 Palms. It's cloudy and 50 Camp Pendleton at the air station. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy and 69. In Okinawa, dark cloudy and 68. Heading further to the west. In Afghanistan, clear, dark, and 48. Somebody told me the other day I should assign times to these. What time is it there? I'd have to figure that out. In Ramadi, which is, I think, plus 9. So that would be 5:18 in the afternoon. Afghanistan, I want to say, is plus 11. So 7:18? I'm not sure, though. I have to confirm that. If my memory serves me correctly, that's what it was. Currently in Ramadi, it is clear, dark, and 58. So actually warmed up in Iraq a little bit. And then... here at the home of All Marine Radio, it is cloudy and 54, looking for a high of 63. 71 tomorrow, though. Yeah, 71 tomorrow, New Year's Eve. So just in time. But, yeah, it's been cold out here. Looking for a high of 63 today with mostly cloudy skies. That is a look at your weather. And because I'm like this, I just remembered to do shithole weather. So from North Carolina, Hickory, with a big picture of Paris Island on it. We make Marines, the big sign there. 64 and partly cloudy with a high of 66. Becoming sunny, overnight low of 37. First Sergeant Wayne in Hickory was at Paris Island over the weekend visiting my firstborn, the captain. It was in the 70s all weekend there. So, well, there you go. First Sergeant Wayne's son, doing the Lord's work at Paris Island. From Saskatchewan, Bev, good morning, Mac. 211 miles northwest of Minot, Church Bridge is 7 degrees above zero, clear, with northwest winds at 7. Our afternoon sky will have a mix of clouds and sun with the northwest wind at 70, making the high 18 degrees above zero feel like five above. 90% humidity plus cold air overnight made hoarfrost, H-O-A-R-F-R, hoarfrost. I've never heard that. Soft ice crystals build up and cling to tree branches and power lines. Oh, that's not good. As children, it was always exciting to stand under a tree branch and shake it so the frost would fall on our heads. So a picture of Bev's outdoor ornament covered with frost. Why is it called hoarfrost? It's H-O-A-R, by the way. The from Nancy in Pennsylvania. Yeah, it looks like summer day in Pennsylvania. No, it doesn't look like summer. I don't know why, but because the leaves have turned on the tree. It looks like a fall day. Hey, Mac, happy Christmas plus five. It's a sunny, blustery 52 degrees in Pleasantville, up to 54, down to 30 overnight. Winds out of the west-southwest at 12 miles an hour, gusting to 21. Light rain coming in later. Snow showers tonight. Light rain in Erie already, 55 over there, up to 59 today, and then 35 overnight. Wind advisory in Erie, you know, that lake thing. Southwest 13, gusting to 24. Have a marvelous Monday, everyone. Nancy. And then there's a school picture from the charter school that has a camera there, don't you know? And it looks like a beautiful fall day in Pleasantville. From, coming in late is Chris, who's normally the first guy. Current position is Webster, Massachusetts. 31 degrees, rain, sleet, and ice today and overnight. Winds are out of the east at 9 to 11 miles an hour. Bottom line, not so bueno, but improving tomorrow. Classic New England church in Middleton, Massachusetts on Sunday. And here's a brick church with a white spire on the front of it with a bunch of cars on. And then there's the extended forecast. He sent me also a picture of that. So got that going for us. So that's from Chris, as the year kind of ends, you know, I met most of these people, this year. So kind of interesting. Interesting year, certainly, for All Marine Radio. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Monday right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up. and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made.
All right, now I could bore you with the news, but I've been looking for this. An Ohio man sent this link to me, and it is the you're going to hear the interviews done with Navy SEAL. And the problem with what happened, with what the president did, was the bad guys won. The problem with the immunity granted to a corpsman is that he then turned around and lied. Like a lot of guys do, to save their friends once they get immunity. Yeah. And so what that means is the bad guy has won. And then the president has stood up and held him up. But the importance of these statements is pretty amazing. And and you'll probably hear it, but because I haven't listened to this yet. And, but if Ohio man sends me something, it's normally pretty good. No, it's always good. Not normally. If normally is always, then it would apply. But anyhow, somebody says, hey, ultimately we're all going to be judged by this. Somebody who's obviously religious. And this is about 29 minutes. So we'll listen to this, and then Alex Hollings is going to join us. And as usual, I will hop in, and if it needs to be fast forwarded to get to more audio without somebody else doing comment where I should be doing the commenting, we'll skip through that. So this is something called, I don't even know what it's called. It's running on Hulu. Hold on. It's called the Gallagher Effect on Hulu. So we'll see if it's what I want. That sounded like PBS to me. It's a program called The Weekly.
Very good.
Yeah.
Which team are you assigned to right now?
Team 7. You're still Team 7.
I'm at SEAL Team 7.
The Navy SEALs are probably the most elite commandos in the military.
Why do you think you're here, first of all? What have you heard this is about?
That's not true, by the way. Delta Force is.
Prisoner issue?
Okay. Reporting on the SEALs is extremely tough.
So I'm having you tell me everything you know first. Okay, I brought my notes just because...
There's a culture of being a silent professional. You don't talk about what you do.
That's not true either. They, more than any other special operators, they talk about what they do. But that's the mystique that they wrap themselves in, right? We all know that.
Walked over there to check it out, and then somebody told me, it's like, hey, grab your med bag.
Did you actually see it happen?
Yeah, I saw it happen.
In the summer of 2019, we get leaked a trove of Navy materials that includes thousands of documents, helmet cam footage, photos, text messages, and all these confidential interviews with the SEALs. Stuff that no one has ever seen before.
I don't know, I heard more rumors and stuff like that of Eddie, like, targeting civilians. I saw Eddie take a shot at probably a 12-year-old kid.
What was Eddie's chief? What was his official position? I mean,
he was the platoon chief. Okay.
This massive leak gives us insight into a very secretive brotherhood of commandos that otherwise we would never get to see.
The guy got crazier and crazier.
You can tell he was perfectly okay with killing anybody.
I see Eddie laying over him with a knife.
This is a case where some SEALs who are not supposed to take things outside the family turned in their own chief.
The guy was toxic. We can't let this continue.
So.
See, that's the problem with all this. They're not, they are supposed to take this outside the quote-unquote family. The family doesn't stand for murder. The family stands for accomplishing your mission. Okay? That's what the family stands for. That's how this whole thing has been corrupted.
You know, there are these guys who believe in doing good and had the courage to act. It's just that things didn't turn out how they thought.
Civilians everywhere.
Shit, we have a problem.
He's a psychopath.
We're going to protect our warfighters.
I'm overjoyed that he stepped in again.
We have to have good order and discipline.
That's freaking evil, man.
And as usual, man, the audio effects, oh my God.
Take one. Eddie Gallagher was kind of a legend in the SEALs. He was trained as a medic, trained as a sniper, trained as a breacher, which is somebody who busts down walls and blows open doors. He had been named Sailor of the Year, had a chest full of medals, known as a badass. He was not afraid of the fight, and he was going to take it to the enemy. So when he was named to take over Alpha Platoon, SEAL Team 7, everybody in the platoon was excited.
Eddie was like a very respected chief, great leader, great reputation. Everyone knows him like a guy you can fall back on.
He's a legend, so we go into this platoon, and I love him. He's my mentor.
They were picked as the top platoon in their team, and they were sent to the toughest mission in Mosul, Iraq. But once they got there, things started getting weird. Edward Gallagher told the platoon the deployment to Mosul was a golden egg because you could get as much combat as you wanted. And what Edward Gallagher wanted was to go and get some. But then, as they spend more time in Iraq, Eddie started doing other things that not only started to make them wonder about his abilities as a leader, but also his values as a person.
We're just doing all the stupid shit that goes against everything we learned in training.
It kind of turned into the platoon being Eddie's personal, like, sniper escort to get him from place to place so he could try to do his sniper ops.
He kept talking about how cool it would be to get a Purple Heart. The shittier the situation got, the higher his award would be.
Yeah.
He's just like metal chasing.
He would just be shooting. Nobody else would see anything to shoot and say he was getting kills.
He wasn't like the same person anymore.
What did you feel like his priority was when he was there?
War sores at the end.
Gallagher would fire multiple times more than them. You know, they might get off one shot or two shots a day, if that. And he'd fire 20 shots. He would come back to the house at the end of the day talking about how many people he'd killed.
Eddie came up to me after an operation and said that he had killed four women today. And I said, why the fuck did you do that? And he said, well, I shot warning shots.
Eddie's response to Craig was, well, I gave him warning shots first. I have never witnessed Eddie give a warning shot.
I think he just wants to kill anybody he can.
This stuff.
Now, these, just so you know, these are interviews not with journalists, but these are interviews with NCIS agents that the audio is being extracted from, with the reporter layering his audio on top of it. So their voices that you hear are not in conversation, certainly with the reporter. They are extracted from NCIS interviews that were somehow or other obtained by the New York Times.
Stuff really starts to trouble them. Their chief appears to be shooting people who there's no reason he should shoot.
Any actions you remember the platoon taking to try and to stop it from happening, whether talking to Eddie, talking to someone else, doing anything at all?
There were multiple instances where we brought Eddie in to talk to him, and he would just kind of turn the conversation his way and came down to like, oh, I'm the chief, I do what I want. At some point towards the end of the deployment, the other snipers would shoot, so they would run away and hide before Eddie would engage him.
They were trying to protect, like, the civilian populace from Eddie. Did Eddie ever say anything to you guys about doing that? He thought we were missing.
Okay.
And you'd be like, you fucking missed.
It got so bizarre to them. Try and imagine you're deployed to Iraq and you get up every day and you know that your job is going to be to go out to the war zone where there's legitimate people who your mission is to kill, but you're not going to do that. Because you're going to be spending much of your time protecting innocent civilians from your own platoon leader. So step by step, these guys are starting to have real questions about him. And then this stabbing happens. Everyone that I've talked to in the platoon said that things were pretty normal on May 6th, 2017. That morning they used signals equipment to figure out that ISIS had some sort of small command post in a farmhouse.
They call in air support and a helicopter sends a missile
down into this house. They hit it directly, killing several ISIS members. In fact, there was only one who survived, and within minutes, the Iraqi forces on the ground captured this guy who was still alive and conscious, and they were going to bring him in. An ISIS fighter sort of conjures up an image of a big bad guy, but this guy's a pretty pathetic sight. He's clearly a teenager, so skinny that the watch he's wearing when they pick him up slides all the way up to his shoulder. The media was there. There's also a number of people around. At the time that this missile hits, Edward Gallagher is in an armor.
So what you see, the video that you see, is this kid who's, I don't know, in some state of concussed state. Eyes are closed, but he's talking, and there's a reporter, an Iraqi reporter, crouched over him. That's who you heard talking right there. You heard the kid talking like that. Well, the clear voice was a reporter with a microphone shoved in the dude's face, and the dude's like, laying prone on the ground with his eyes closed.
A gun truck, pretty close to the front line.
Eddie came over the radio and specifically said, "Don't touch him, I got him. Nobody touch him, he's all mine."
He literally drove miles across field and gunfire to get back to this.
Now it shows the kid being held by Army SF dudes. And they might be Iraqi, I can't tell, because they were in Army BD, Army utilities. The kid's on his knees, conscious, right? He's awake.
So I came over, the kid had a wound on his leg. He was unconscious. He looked like he was blown up, concussed, like, kid wasn't fairly human. I mean,
he didn't look like he was doing very well.
So he's still alive. I mean,
he was still alive. He was sedated.
At that point, they weren't like
that. And that, at that point in time, like, he probably wasn't going to die.
Gallagher comes on the scene with his medic bag and pushes the kid down on the ground while he checks him for wounds. And right then, you can see a hand reach up and turn off the helmet cam.
What did you...
So he grabs the kid's leg. The kid screams, which is what you just heard, and then the helmet cam goes off.
You actually see Gallagher do.
All of a sudden, Eddie just starts stabbing the dude.
I see Eddie laying over him with a knife sitting at his neck. Did Eddie say anything when he did this, or did he just literally pull out a knife and just start stabbing him?
He just pulled out a knife and started stabbing him.
How close do you think you were when you saw Gallagher stab him?
Me, body. Yeah.
One time, multiple times.
It was probably two or three times.
Do you remember where in his neck he stabbed him? Stab him on the side, back, like stab in and like turn it. I mean,
I think it was just like a stab about right here, just in a few times.
Just for the record, both guys point to the exact same spot. You know, the thing that's curious about this that I didn't know is that, you know, he does it in front of Iraqis. I mean, there looks like there's more than a dozen people standing around.
He starts bleeding, and soon after he dies. All the guys around are in shock.
I know you said this guy was sedated, but I'm going to ask the same way. Did he do anything that could be interpreted as lunging, attacking Eddie in any way to justify it?
No.
Did you interpret him as a threat at any point when Gallagher stabbed him?
I did not, no.
Okay. Any possible way that what he was doing could be interpreted as for medical purposes to help this guy?
No.
In that confusion, they gather up most of the members of the platoon and get them to do a photo.
Hey, we're taking a group picture. Get in this fucking picture.
The guys are right there. It's like, bring it in.
I'm not getting in the fucking picture.
They do it with the body right there and everything?
Yeah, well, it's right there.
Have you ever seen the picture?
No.
They call them deer kill folks.
So they show the picture. You've seen it published with some of it blurred. But in this case, in the Hulu thing, it's not blurred. It's them standing there.
Photos, knelt down, holding the head of this dead fighter as a trophy.
Do you know who took the pictures?
No. There's multiple pictures being taken.
What they probably don't say when they came home is, yeah, this kid was sedated and we brought him in and he was our captive, right? That doesn't show up.
I don't think that people did follow this dead ISIS guy. Like, really, goes, whatever. It's fucking, it's kind of, I think about it now, it's very unprofessional.
Did you guys take off after that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just leave the body there.
Yeah.
He may very well still be just right there.
What that means is that this crime scene, where a murder is said to have taken place, where under normal circumstances you would come in and take photos and collect physical evidence, is literally left out in the wind.
Craig called a meeting with everyone, and I told him that we can't, you know, however you feel about this, we can't let this continue, like, morally. Eddie saw that we had a little meeting. He was like, hey, what are you guys talking about?
I went in and I was like, hey, like, you guys aren't okay with that happening.
Did he deny anything? Did he deny kill them in any way? I mean, obviously you witnessed it, but when...
No, he never denied it.
When he stabbed this ISIS captive, it was not something that was accidental or a mercy killing or a mistaken call.
In your mind, is what happened that day and what happened with all these other incidents war crimes?
Yes.
Is there any doubt in your mind that these are war crimes?
No.
I just want people to know what it takes for somebody to stand up and say something like that. It takes no small amount of moral courage to stand up and say, hey, I witnessed a war crime from somebody who you looked up to and whatnot. And that shows you how bad this was. And again, you're not talking about one guy in the platoon doing this. You're talking about the platoon going repeatedly and demanding that he be charged.
The platoon got home from Iraq in September of 2017. They reported it to their platoon leader and to people up the chain. Nothing was done. The guys were increasingly frustrated that it looked like their chief was going to get away with murder. And so they went back again and again until finally they told their chain of command, look, if you don't take care of this, we are going to go directly to the media and the Navy's Criminal Investigative Service.
Let me read the text. Makes it seem like Eddie will possibly get away with murder. And then in parentheses, literally, I'm reading from the text. Let's not forget that there are 7 to 12 of us in here who had the balls to tell the truth about what Eddie has done. That is a strong case no matter who the prosecutor, judge, or bullshit manipulative. And then that's all you see on the screen.
At that point, the command's like, okay, fine, we'll take care of this. The criminal investigation starts. Navy investigators bring the SEALs in and talk to them. And they say, we're going to arrest this guy. They raid his house, take his phones and computers. They take his combat kit where they find the knife that SEALs say he used. And on the phone, they find the photo of Edward Gallagher with the body, with his knife that he had texted to other SEALs saying, good story behind this. Got him with my hunting knife. So the Navy charges Edward Gallagher with murder, attempted murder.
Tonight, this decorated Navy SEAL faces premeditated murder charges.
Gallagher faces a maximum sentence of life without parole.
While the investigation's going on, Edward Gallagher is working behind the scenes to try and spread the word that the SEALs in his platoon are telling on him, essentially. SEALs say...
First text. This shit is spreading in the brain. I want everybody to know who these faggots are. That's from Gallagher to a bunch of people. Next. I just landed in San Diego driving to X tonight. I'll be there all week. I'm ready for everyone to see who these faggots are.
He had made physical threats against them, and the Navy become...
And then he talks about, I want these guys to know that they went crying to the wrong person.
I'm concerned that he's trying to intimidate witnesses. And so in September 2000...
Then he says, I'm going to start spreading these. He uses the C word names.
2018, they arrest him.
Those are all text messages.
And they put him in the brig. Awaiting trial, he's going to be behind bars.
Just in case you wondered why he was behind bars.
Listen, I love you.
So Eddie Gallagher's defense and his family decided that they were really going to take this case to the public.
Joining us now is Edward Gallagher's wife, Andrea Gallagher. Andrea, good morning.
And they find a really receptive audience with conservative media.
My husband has endured a lot of suffering at the hands of...
Particularly with Fox News.
Twice awarded the Bronze Star with V for valor.
But now he's behind bars, facing multiple charges, including the murder of an ISIS dirtbag.
If you were to literally create or imagine what a modern-day war hero would be, it'd be Eddie.
There's at least...
That was his brother.
Six SEALs who are witnesses saying we saw what happened, but conservative media...
And then other SEALs come out, right? More text messages from the SEALs, right, who turned him in. I think all anyone can do at this point is to tell the truth, which will come out anyway. The time for picking sides is long past.
Treated them as whiny millennials that can't hack it.
These witnesses are lying.
There were a few malcontents, the guys that didn't like...
That was lawyer, this is brother.
...being reprimanded for not wanting to engage in combat.
The prosecutors, they were totally unprepared for this.
A new twist in the...
And they decided to try and cut off the flow of information, which included tons of leaks, and they wanted to find the leakers.
Lawyers for Edward Gallagher, accusing military prosecutors of spying on them.
And this was a huge story. It made the prosecutors look really bad in an already politically charged case.
I expect that there should be congressional investigations on this. I think that there should be indictments. I think that certain NCIS agents should be taken out in cuffs.
What's bizarre about it is how closely and personally connected it is to President Trump.
Some of these soldiers are people that have fought hard, long.
Now, what is President Trump's favorite show to watch? It's Fox and Friends.
But we need the intervention of the President of the United States.
I would love to see the President take a good hard look.
We're pleading today for help from the people and from the President of the United States to come to our aid.
President Trump calls up the paperwork on Chief Gallagher that he would need to pardon him and indicates that he's thinking about doing that.
It's a little bit controversial. It's very possible that I'll let the trials go on and I'll make my decision after the trial.
That's so unprecedented. It has never happened. And then Eddie Gallagher's trial starts.
Court will come to order.
The prosecution start with their witnesses. Did you see him stab him? Yes, I did. Another SEAL comes up. Did you see him stab him? Yes, I did. The prosecutors present the evidence. They had a good case.
Government, please call the next witness.
Yes, sir. The government calls SO1 Corey Scott.
And this is very important because Corey Scott was both the closest to the body.
Everything was under control when I got there.
He not only saw things the best, he was a trained medic.
Yeah, he was still alive. He was sedated.
Will you please state your full name, spelling your last?
Corey Noel Scott, S-C-O-T-T.
But when it gets on the stand, things are a little strange. I was sitting in the back of the courtroom and I could sort of sense it. For the first time during multiple days of the trial, Edward Gallagher brought his family in, two of his kids, and they had never been there before. And I kept thinking to myself, why would you bring your kids on the day that you know the star witness who saw this murder most closely is going to say you stabbed someone multiple times? And then the first thing Corey Scott does is he makes sure that the judge tells him,
you received grants of testimonial immunity.
You have total immunity. Don't worry. You're protected. Nothing you say here can come back to haunt you.
I'm going to draw you directly to the incident with the ISIS prisoner, okay?
Yeah.
Do you recall that incident?
Yes, I do.
He testifies that, yes, he was there. Yes, Chief Gallagher was there. Yes, Chief Gallagher pulled out a knife.
How many times do you believe that Chief Gallagher stabbed a prisoner?
I know he stabbed him one time. Anything else would be speculation after that.
Corey Scott changed his story on the stand. What Corey Scott had told investigators multiple times beforehand is...
He said he stabbed him one time, multiple times.
It was probably two or three times.
Okay.
Which is like a stab about right here.
That's a previous interview, right, with NCIS?
Just in a few times.
Is there any possible way that what he was doing could be interpreted as... for medical purposes to help this guy?
No.
There's no way this was anything other than to attack and to kill this person?
No.
Okay. Same dude that changes the story on the stand.
What did you do next?
I stayed at the scene until the ISIS fighter asphyxiated.
The prosecutor sits down without having gotten any of the testimony he expected, and very quickly the defense attorney stands up and starts asking,
"You didn't say that Chief Gallagher suffocated, did you?"
"No."
"Well, if Eddie Gallagher didn't kill that guy, who did?"
"Craig Miller suffocate him?"
"No."
"Did you suffocate him?"
"Yes."
"How?"
"I held my thumb over his ET tube until he stopped breathing."
And there is just this heavy silence.
No further questions.
Because all of a sudden, you can't get this guy for murder because someone else has just admitted to the killing.
Redirect?
Yes.
The prosecutors are furious.
Multiple times you were asked what happened next after the stabbing.
Do you remember what transpired when you're still on the scene after you stabbed him?
And you never mentioned that you had covered the tube in any way, did you?
No. I kind of stayed at the dude's head, and then, like, for a few minutes until he died.
They've had six conversations with this guy.
And only now, when you have your granted testimonial immunity.
Why didn't you tell us this beforehand? You had all this opportunity.
You can stand up there and you can lie.
Yes.
And he said,
"Chief Gallagher, he's got a wife and a family. I don't believe he should be spending his life in prison."
I had to admit to it now because he's got a wife and a family and I didn't want him to go to prison.
The courtroom bombshell dropped by SEAL medic Corey Scott. The jury, seven fellow military men, will soon decide this decorated SEAL's fate.
The word around here is that military juries like this don't generally take that long to reach a decision. Kate?
Very quickly, this jury of his peers, combat people, people who had been overseas fighting the very people who he had killed, came back and acquitted him of one thing after another.
Not guilty of the stabbing, not guilty of the shootings, not guilty of all those things. They did find him guilty of taking a photograph.
Posing for a photo with the dead body of the ISIS fighter.
Navy SEAL team leader Eddie Gallagher walking out of court a free man.
He drove away.
It's amazing. That's why, look, you can get the free trial for Hulu, but if you're listening to this, it's absolutely stunning to watch, to have now watched the video of what he did, right? Who was standing there, the number of people around there, and then this dude then turned, came home, wrapped himself in the flag, and now he's being hosted by the President of the United States. Disgusting.
People in a convertible Mustang. Within hours, he was on Fox News.
Thank you all for joining us this morning.
I heard the host say, "Do you have a message that you want to give to the SEALs?"
"You're part of a brotherhood. Remember, you know, you're there to watch your brother's back. He's there to watch your back. You just stay loyal."
Loyalty, which I read as, "You guys shouldn't have gone against me."
And that's the internal fight that goes on to this day now inside the SEALs. That culture has so lost its way in terms of being silent, which it's not. And there's a ton of guys that served in there honorably. But now the name SEAL carries with it a whole lot of baggage that they burned. Because, you've heard guys come on this program. I mean, they have issues. But that's the fight that goes on. That what does that term loyalty mean? That I'm supposed to be loyal to you when you commit war crimes? That's not what it means. Ever. That's not what it's ever meant.
I just want to say that I feel completely grateful and blessed.
My husband is a hero. Our family was terrorized, and we've overcome it.
You knew I was innocent of these charges the whole time.
Eddie is vindicated. We went through the process and came out victorious.
It's still surreal at this point, and it's hard to take in, and I got plenty of thoughts.
So Eddie gets acquitted of all but one minor charge, and he just goes back to his life being a SEAL.
Let's right now bring in for his first exclusive interview, Navy SEAL Operations Chief Eddie Gallagher, his wife, Andrea.
Eddie kind of goes on this victory tour.
Here with us now, live and in studio, to open up about their fight for justice is Navy.
He goes on Fox News.
I've been happy to be home, be back with my kids and my wife, and just trying to enjoy life.
I want to say thank you to you, Fox News, to you guys, Pete, for being with us from day one.
Thank you, Pete.
He has posted some really brazen stuff on social media. It's striking how strident he is in what he's doing. It's almost like he's trolling the Navy because he knows that the Navy really can't touch him. So the question is, what's going to happen to this guy now?
Just days ago, President Trump signed this brief order restoring Navy SEAL Edward Gallagher.
Trump reinstated his rank after he was demoted as punishment.
And also expunging everything from my record so that I could retire honorably, and that it was like this thing had never happened. I'm overjoyed that he stepped in again as being the leader that he is.
I think the Navy saw that and was really troubled by it. They don't want people to look at Eddie Gallagher and think, well, they just let him off. And so I think they still thought they could teach him a lesson. And they said, we're going to take away his Navy SEAL trident.
You take that away, you kick him out of the field. But they quickly realized that they don't have the political capital to do that.
On Thursday, the president tweeted that the Navy would not be taking away Gallagher's trident pin.
They wanted to take his pin away. I said, no, you're not going to take it away. He was a great fighter. He was one of the ultimate fighters.
Secretary of the Navy Richard Spencer has been fired.
I don't think he really understands the full definition of a warfighter. A warfighter is a profession of arms, and a profession of arms has standards that they have to be held to and they hold themselves to.
I just want to retire peacefully with all the honors that I've earned, get back to my family, and, you know, I don't know how many times I thank the president. He keeps, you know, stepping in and doing the right thing.
What's the Gallagher effect? Well, in some ways, it's very real and has already happened. After he was acquitted, the Navy prosecutors in San Diego looked at the cases of some of his friends who were also facing charges for killing people overseas and just dropped the cases. They were afraid of bringing that circus of a trial back and losing all over again.
I'm nervous, you know, because I just don't know anything about this stuff, and there's a lot at stake.
I won't bring up your name in any way.
No, I don't
until
care.
I approach you about it.
Hey, I honestly don't care. Like, I'm over it. Like, yeah. This needs to be done. We've been pushing for it.
Commanders who would have disciplined some bad SEALs aren't going to step up and do it because they don't want to get their heads lopped off by the president.
There's almost no one in the world who can kill someone, you know, that personally with a knife, you know, looking at them. Like, literally the worst of the worst.
You know, this is not the story of one chief who killed someone. It's the story of, you know, six or seven guys who said, like, no, we're going to stand up and do the right thing.
You know, it's like our duty, it's our job to not let this continue. And I was, like, really proud of the guys because everyone was, like, on board with that.
One of the consequences of this is inevitably going to be that people aren't going to want to come forward.
There will be blacklisted or something, I'm sure, because all the Eddie's boys will shit on us, whatever, but at this point I was like, I don't care.
Yeah, there's like a weight that's lifted off of me right now.
Everybody in the SEALs watched what happened to the guys who came and testified. Some of them were ostracized, and ultimately pretty much nothing came of it. And so they look at that and say, even if I saw something, why would I want to go through that?
Chief, there's a graphic. Chief Gallagher's lawyer issued a statement saying that the videos helped the defense by showing all the holes in the witnesses' false stories. There were sections where the video inexplicably cut off, sections where you could hear the investigator coaching the witnesses in the hall. Chief Gallagher says in a statement, my first reaction to seeing the videos was surprise and disgust that they would make up blatant lies about me, but I quickly realized that they were scared that the truth would come out of how cowardly they acted during the deployment. I would tell you, do the Hulu thing, and you can get a free trial for $11. You can get a free trial for a week, and you can go ahead and you can cancel it whenever you want, but it's certainly worth your time. And honestly, from what I've seen, the story that just got told, that's the truth. That's the truth. If you followed it, you didn't need to be a genius to figure it, you know, to figure it out. And again, it cost Secretary of the Navy, Richard Spencer, his job, as well it should have. Because somebody, to me, I don't know how the head of the SEALs, I can't remember what his name is, I don't know how he's staying in his job and not resigning, right? And again, it's we talked about this. Everybody, Jeff Kenney made the statement, everybody thinks they can do more good from within than without. And so, anyhow, we'll take a break. And I want to thank Ohio Man, because I was looking for that audio, but that Hulu report is absolutely fantastic. So I would encourage you to watch it. I'll put a link in to what it's called. It's called The Weekly. Season 1, Episode 23, The Gallagher Effect. And what The Gallagher Effect refers to is what is going to be the impact of others coming forward when such a miscarriage of justice looms and haunts, right, any future proceeding. That will be The Gallagher Impact. More of All Marine Radio coming up here on a Monday. Next, on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.